Unpopular opinion. This is my best look of the season. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Restitching the Tapestry. We're feeling a little, you know, eccentric tonight, so forgive us. It's been like, what, a week since we've seen anybody, so it feels good to be back. What episode are we on? Episode 138?
We're getting up there.
And the truth is, we only have like two more live episodes this season. And then we're done with the entire fourth season, which is hard to believe. Doesn't feel real. Does it feel real to you?
No, I cannot. You know, time flies when you're having fun with your bestie.
Oh, I know. Likewise. And it feels like yesterday that we were, you know, in these big boxy, you know, this. Oh,
oh my God, I'm backing up.
Remember when we looked like this?
Oh my God, no, it's too close.
Oh,
too close.
Oh, there we go, back to normal. Yeah, that was bad. But you know what? We quickly grew out of that, and now here we are looking all bougie and delightful. Well, let's catch up. What have we been up to? How have we been?
I got done with my college class. I got a 96%.
Congratulations. Oh my God, I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
I know. I've been taking this week off to relax and work on beachfront poetry. My sister's coming home for Christmas.
Good.
So I'm making the house ready for her to come home. My cat is doing the most adorable thing by sleeping under the Christmas tree during the day.
Oh.
David Lynch posted.
Really? For the first time in ages, right?
Since last December, he finally posted something this week.
What did he post?
Something about it has to do with our current event snapshot.
Oh, okay. Okay. The political burnout side of things or the Middle East turmoil side of things?
Middle East turmoil.
Okay, well, we will definitely talk about that here in a moment because it's, I mean, something that we absolutely must talk about. For me, this past week, it's mostly been grading, work. Honestly, I haven't been doing much aside from that. I've been doing a little bit of writing here and there, but nothing like too extravagant. But here's an idea. Do we want to do the mission statement and then get into current events? Because I think we're going to be talking about the current event snapshot for a little bit. How does that sound?
You go for it.
All right. So the show mission statement, here we go. We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of the adversity many marginalized communities face, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing.
Wow, that mission statement, like even now, like even like the when we started the show, that mission statement had a completely different context, but still our mission statement, like it means even like it still rings true today about like as atrocities take place in real time today, like it still rings true to like that, like that we're still talking about things as they're happening in real time. And right. Like, it still rings true to the events that are happening around us that, you know, it still baffles me that it's still timely.
Yeah. And I think it will be so long as there's hate in the world too, as long as there's conflict in the world. Taylor's here. Hello, Taylor. It's good to see you. And yes, I am rocking my Love Overall Evanescence shirt. Thank you. Thank you. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and we wanted to take a few minutes to just reflect on it and talk about it a bit.
Well, have you heard about the news, what's happened the last couple days?
I think I have, but maybe I didn't hear the specific details. What was the news?
Well, in the last couple of days, there's been a ceasefire, and so they've been exchanging hostages.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Israel and Hamas, yes. Mm-hmm. I did see the news about that. I think last I saw, how many hostages were exchanged? Was it like...
Just over like 300, I think.
To that effect, yeah. Well, so like, I think... Another reason we wanted to talk about this is because we really haven't talked about it extensively beyond talking about just current event snapshot moments over the past couple of months. And the truth is, like, in our privilege as people not residing in areas where this conflict is happening, like, I feel like many of us are so far removed from it that it just doesn't really cross our minds, yet it really impacts a lot of people. And there is a lot of people in our circles that it may impact, that they may not be talking about it. Maybe they have family or relatives or friends who live in those regions, right? And mind you, like, when it comes to the conflict, like, I mean, we also have to think about, like, that there's conflict happening in Ukraine yet still too. And
yeah,
this current conflict, you know, with Israel and Hamas, and of course, the Gaza Strip, like, that, it's a lot to unpack. It's really a lot to unpack.
There's just a lot with it specifically, with, like, it's a very complicated issue. I feel like we could almost dedicate a whole episode to just talking about the whole issue itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem between us talking about it too is that I think that usually when we talk about these things, we have kind of like, we're almost on the same page about our opinions on these issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe on this issue, we may not be on exactly the same page.
I mean, I think that we are on the same page when it comes to the human component.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, well, like, and Taylor just mentioned this too, because Ari and I were talking about this yesterday. Taylor says, I am not removed from the rise in anti-Semitism. I'll tell you that for free. And I'm so sorry that you've had to navigate that. And I was just reading a statistic earlier that anti-Semitism has risen over the past year, culminating with this conflict, by 400%.
Yeah, that's the reason why, because of the anti-Semitism, I personally support Israel in this, and I don't necessarily support all of Israel's actions, because mm-hmm. some of the stuff that Israel has done isn't necessarily like the best, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing. But in this, I mostly support Israel because they're defending themselves from people, from a terrorist organization that's coming in and attacking them. Now, necessarily, I don't think that they necessarily need to attack civilians. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I have issue, is that they're doing things that are hurting innocent people. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think that's probably a qualm that I have with Israel, but that doesn't mean that I don't lose support of Israel. And so,
right.
But for me, I just cannot not support Israel in this. And so because I have too many Jewish friends, and I just support mm-hmm. the Jewish community, for me, I just can't see myself not supporting Israel in this. And so it's been really difficult, because I hear, you know, a lot of people supporting Palestine in this. And again, this is a show about unpopular opinions. You know, I hear a lot of people supporting Palestine, and I understand where they're coming from and like why they're supporting Palestine in this. But they're using their supporting opinions by quoting people like Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it feels a little bit uncomfortable to have them quoting somebody who committed a terrorist attack against the United States as a supporting opinion to support Palestine. It's just, it's a very complicated issue. I understand that civilians are getting hurt in all of this, and I do feel bad for the Palestinian civilians that are getting, that are in this war of attrition. But I think that when it comes to terrorism, when it comes to protecting civilians, I understand where Israel is coming from, because if this were America, we wouldn't stand for civilians, for people getting attacked in our country either, like that.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, earlier you mentioned that we kind of differed in opinion, but truthfully, I don't think we differed that extensively in opinion, because I feel very much the same way. I think that I was a little bit more vocal about, like, the loss of life in the Gaza Strip, because, like just these reports of, like, hospitals, like, being destroyed and things like that, it is really terrifying, and the fact that people are being displaced as well. And I think that what makes the situation difficult, especially for those of us who are privileged and outside of all of it, is that we don't necessarily always know where to land on the topic, on the issue, because there's so many different layers and variables. And I think that we all can agree, though, that terrorism is unacceptable. And like Taylor mentions here, the concept of war crimes is difficult because the second anyone dies for political movements is a crime against humanity. War itself is a crime. But then again, we have to think of it from the context of, like, imagine being a country in a region where you are surrounded by so many other countries that have some sort of active interest in your downfall, right? And I think that would be, you know, that would be terrifying to have to navigate. Now, I guess I think part of where I was stuck on was also thinking about, like, our role in all of it, because at the end of the day, like, most of our role in anything involves, you know, capitalism.
The United States is just the policeman of the world, and that we have a hand in all of the political affairs of any country that's, it's inevitable that because we're such a global superpower, that we have inevitably had something to do with something that's going on politically in this country. And we established Israel. We did. And, you know, I know it's easy to say that Israel should not exist because, you know, some people say that, you know, Israel shouldn't have been given over to the Zionists after World War II. But, you know, it happened, and it's a thing that we did because there was a lot of sympathy because there was no homeland for them. And it, you know, maybe that's a different conversation had we had that in 2023, and all of this took place in 2023, and we were having this conversation now, but that was 1945. It was a different time. It was a different place. There was a lot of sympathy. Everybody was in accord back then, and everything seemed great back then.
Well, and arguably even back then, it may have not seemed great because so much of the world was recovering from World War II, right?
Right.
I think at that point in time,
it seemed like such a good plan back then, and it seemed like such a good idea back then, and so I at the time, it seems like there's conflict now, but back then at the beginning, it seemed like it was such a good plan for the Zionists to have Israel on the Gaza Strip, and that it was a place for a whole ethnic group to have a place to call their home. And so it's like people are naysaying it now, but that's in retrospect. Like, retrospect is 2020. Like, you say it's you know, easy to say those things after the fact, years and years of conflict.
Well, and the truth is, like, when it comes to, like, especially, and what frustrates me is that I mean, our nation has a very distinct history with colonization. I mean, let's think of indigenous cultures, for example. Like, I get a very uncomfortable feeling when I see people in our country making comments about, like, well, this group of people shouldn't have this land, or this group of people should have never had any. And I've been seeing that rhetoric a lot on the internet over the past few days. And I'm just like, who are we in our, like, what authority do we think we have to dictate to the rest of the world who should be who and where, right? But of course, like, that's how history has developed over the course of time. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like I know there are a lot of people who hesitate to have conversations about what's happening in the rest of the world, but I think it's important that we do so, because if we are having conversations, then hopefully in some way there could be momentum in the best interests of people not losing their lives.
And this isn't to say that I'm not sympathetic to what's happening in Palestine. Mm-hmm. I'm very sympathetic. I think that what's happening is terrible. I think that what is happening to the Palestinian people is bad. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that at all. What I am saying yeah. is that Hamas attacked Israel. Israel is defending itself. Mm-hmm. In the United States, this happened to us. We got attacked. We went to war with Afghanistan. A lot of people got killed in Afghanistan as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wanted to take a moment to talk about that and to just put out there that we hope that at some point things will get better. And if you are a person who is impacted by this, just know that we're always keeping you in our thoughts and in our hearts, and that we love you. And even if it's unspoken, even if what you're going through isn't articulated or out there, like, your feelings are valid, right? So, well, let's talk about this deep topic, and then let's talk about unpopular opinions in general. So I think we wanted to talk about unpopular opinions because I think we've all been in the position where we may have been in a group of people where we had an opinion about something and it wasn't like people were like, what? Like, ooh, you know.
Well, imagine, like, let's pull out from the scope of this issue. Imagine having an opinion such as Free Palestine, and mm-hmm. that is, to some, considered an unpopular opinion. Like, you sit down to the dinner table at Thanksgiving, and you have all of your family members who have differing opinions about what should be happening right now. And you sit down at a dinner table, everybody's got, you sit down, you have two different opinions about how things should be done. And your opinion is not considered popular at the dinner table.
And, well, the fun, we always have opinions. We're opinionated. Like, humans are inherently opinionated, right? Taylor's got some unpopular opinions. Let's get this started. Okay.
Taylor Swift is just fine. Why is everybody so mean to Taylor Swift? I like Taylor Swift.
I do like Taylor Swift.
People have been attacking Taylor Swift and they're calling us cultists.
Okay, so I guess this might be some unpopular opinion of me. So I do love Taylor Swift, but I have the unpopular opinion that I think a lot of her early music all the way up until like Chic Now sounds the same to me.
Some of her early music was like homophobic and stuff, but she changed it to make it less homophobic.
And, you know, like, which I love. Like, I feel like Taylor Swift as an artist has been this person who is just consciously fearless. Oh, did I just use a Taylor Swift reference? Constantly fearless when it comes to self-awareness and growth and all of that jazz. Taylor also says the Rush music video, you're talking about the Troye Sivan music video, right? Is fat phobic and the costumes suck. I do think that it was very much problematic with regard to body representation, for sure. That happens a lot in the gay community. Like, you know.
Unpopular opinion, I think it should be okay to talk about poo-poo pee-pee stuff in regular conversation and people not be grossed out by it because it's
a
bodily function.
I love that. Like, why there, maybe it's just like this Puritan thing, like in our, throughout our culture, but like, we are so ashamed of talking about our bodies.
Bodily functions. Let me hear about burps, farts, poops, pees. You know what? Those are normal bodily functions.
Yes.
You should be able to talk about those things without people being like, ew, gross. Those are
people,
gross.
Like,
those
like,
are gross things. They're body things. Those are body things that happen all the time.
Like, and even like smaller scale things like, oh no, I have a pimple or something like that. Like, some people get like, they feel so much shame, or they have had it as an experience in their past where they have been shamed, right? And it's just, it's so wild to me. Like, I feel like this opinion should be a popular opinion. Like, we should just talk about our bodies. But the truth is, like, a lot of people don't feel that way, which is really sad to me.
Can we normalize talking about, like, poo-poo, pee-pee? Like, I had a dookie.
I had a dook. Arpy says, unpopular opinion, I'm not a Selena Gomez fan. I'm kind of in between. Like, I like some of Selena Gomez's music. If anybody shares the unpopular opinion tonight that they think Lady Gaga or Evanescence are overrated, I will fight. I will fight.
Like a little duck with a knife.
I will fight with my thimble and my toothpick. Against the dragon that is that pop, that is that opinion.
Oh my goodness. Getting
not to
angry
be dramatic.
Up in here.
How would we describe what it means to have an unpopular opinion? So like, obviously, like being the person in a group of people that might have the opinion that's not shared by the majority, obviously.
So I think it's relative, because although maybe like it's unpopular within like your family or like within your community, it may not be unpopular with like the larger group of the whole. Mm-hmm. So like, you know what I mean? It's sort of like within your ecosystem, within your niche, it's considered unpopular. It's sort of like you hold this relative idea that's differing from your environment at that time.
Yeah. Ooh, Taylor's got a good one here. Taylor says, unpopular opinion, queer men are some of the biggest misogynists. Absolutely true. And Taylor says, like, you're good, Donnie, but woo, some of them. When
oh,
I was in
Donnie,
college,
I
was not.
Donnie, you got called one of the good ones.
Thank you. No, I'm, because I learned. Because I learned to not be a total asshat. Because when I first came out, like, oh, I would say very misogynistic things and not realize it until I had a friend who would sit me down and be like, Donnie, like, that's not a cool thing to say, and here's why, right?
Have you noticed one of the biggest things that gay men will feel comfortable doing is groping women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's part of that misogyny, is that they there's like an entitlement to their girlfriend, like their friends that are girls, like their bodies,
yeah,
like, that they can grope them or like touch them and do things to their, like, that was like a whole thing back in like the early 2000s, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That they could just like that they had like this affinity for boobs and that they could touch boob because they weren't attracted to them,
right? Yeah. Well, and additionally, I think that a lot of gay men, like, one very misogynistic thing that they do is they speak in absolute disgust of the anatomy of women, like,
which is so weird to me, because then they'll dress up like drag queens.
Like, it's very problematic, and I think there's been momentum and it's gotten better, but it's still very much there. And let's be honest, like, in the gay community, like among gay men largely, like, we largely don't want to acknowledge the fact
How do you feel about this new season of Dragula, where there are female drag queens?
I love it. We've needed it. Like, yeah. there's trans representation. There's women. Like, it's, I think that representation matters, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that might be an unpopular, because like, I know there are a lot of like Drag Race / Dragula fans who are not a fan of that. Like, they think that it should very much just be one men. Specific group of people, right? And I don't think that that's acceptable at all, you know?
Yeah.
But thank you. Like, I do appreciate you saying that, Taylor. Like, I think when it comes to being in a group of people that has a lot of privilege, which gay men do have a lot of privilege, let's be honest. Like, we do have things that impact us, but we also have a lot of privilege. It takes a lot of work to unlearn that conditioning, kind of what we've talked about with regard to other topics, right? There's a conditioning that privileged groups experience that they have to unlearn in order to become better people and try to work toward not discriminating against others.
Oh, you know, the psychology, like MBTI scale, you know, like if you're an INTJ or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is astrology for science nerds.
Oh, that it definitely is. It definitely is. Arpy says, queer phobia in the queer community needs to go. Yes. Like, I feel like... is that a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion? Because I feel like universally a lot of people might agree that queer phobia in the community is problematic. But like, there is a lot of like internalized like queer phobia within the community. 1000%.
Oh, I have an unpopular opinion.
What?
Let me take off my glasses for this because I don't need to see. You do not need to consult the internet or your or whatever beloved YouTuber or Reddit for every single post or for every single purchase that you make or every single thing that you do or every single opinion that you need to have. You do not need to be the most enlightened person when making a purchase on Amazon. And this goes for my espresso machine. I'm sorry, but I did not get scammed when I bought my $90 espresso machine because I did not consult blank YouTuber here because I did not get the most value for my $90 from a 3-year-old YouTube video that you're posting a link to on this Reddit page. And I got scammed. I got scammed because I bought a cheap espresso machine because I wanted to make some espresso from beans that I ground myself and some oat milk that I steam every morning. But I got scammed because I didn't buy the exact correct one. there's this internet opinion that you have to consult. Isn't this like this culture of having to consult YouTube or Google or something to do like, if you're doing like a home, you know, cutting your people are always go crazy when certain people are making a video and they're cutting their vegetables a certain way. And they're like, you're cutting your vegetables too thick, or you're doing this, you're going to cut yourself, or you're doing this. I was making sleep videos and people are like, you have sleep apnea, you're going to die.
I feel like another unpopular opinion building up from that in the internet is like, you don't have to share every single thought that you have on the internet either. Ironic, because we're doing this show. But this is something that I've been thinking a lot about on my YouTube channel over the past, you know, year or so. Because like, a long time ago on YouTube, I used to literally share like every little waking thought and moment. And I would try
to share everything on my YouTube channel.
And now... I try to make
several YouTube channels. I still do not share everything that I do during the
right, day on YouTube channel. Right. And I think that's important because I do think that our own privacy like is significant. Like, even if it's something simple, like I'm not going to share what I'm having for dinner all the time. I'm not going to like, if I have like a fleeting thought about something, I might jot it down and wait for a moment for it to like turn into something significant.
Although I think you do appreciate my cooking videos.
Popular opinion, Ari's cooking, cleaning videos are phenomenal.
And the grocery haul videos.
I do miss those extensively. Taylor says, unpopular opinion, Ari needs to do a live reading of their smut. is that I might be a popular opinion.
I will write in 2024. I will write some more smut for Taylor. That is
your mission.
Promise for Taylor. I will write at least one book of smut for Taylor. And I will make it free on Amazon for you.
Taylor, I almost think that you should do live readings of your scripts at some point. You prefer doing so in more like selective spaces, which I totally get. But like, it would be wonderful. I think it'd be wonderful. Arpy says, not sure if this is an unpopular opinion, but people who falsely accuse others of assault make mockery of actual victims. Yeah, that happens quite a bit. Yeah. One of my unpopular opinions, this is a food related one. Is this a good potential show idea in the future? I will read my script if you want, or come on to talk about erotic writing. Ooh,
I will write some erotic fiction, and then we will invite Taylor on, and we will do a dramatic reading of erotic fiction.
Yes. Ooh, do I need to unearth one of my old fiction? Like, because I haven't written this type of fiction.
Oh my God. Yes. Do the one about the coffee shop.
Oh, you did read that, didn't you?
I did read that. Yes, I did.
Sordid intentions.
Yes, I did.
Oh. one of my unpopular food opinions, I think olives are disgusting.
One of my unpopular opinions, everybody loves pickles. Pickles are disgusting. I think most pickled things are disgusting. They're so gross, that vinegary smell. And it's because of my sister that I hate pickles, because she used to get these big fat dill pickles that my mom would get at the store, and she would bite the end off and suck out the insides and then eat the skin. Gross. Pickles are disgusting. You're gross for liking pickles.
I love me a pickle.
I know you do. Yeah, of course you like a pickle.
Are you saying that because I'm a homosexual?
Maybe. Homosexuals and their pickles.
Damn gays and their pickles. another unpopular food opinion. And this, like, I know a lot of people who also don't like this, but I also am surrounded by people who love this type of food. Seafood.
I hate seafood.
Like, okay, so here is my thing. I don't mind like salmon, fish. I like seaweed. I like all of that jazz, like stuff.
My mom always told us growing up, do not ever get shrimp. Do not ever get any. If you ever go to a buffet, do not get the seafood, because that is a ticket to food poisoning.
Well, yeah. And I just if it has a shell or an exoskeleton, the texture like sends some sensory thing in my head reeling. Like, I can't do it. And I've tried them before, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And you know what? Maybe also, like, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist and we couldn't eat seafood or pork. Maybe it could be like a residual thing or like I struggle with that. I can eat ham now. I'm fine with that. But any other like pork or like seafood in general, I cannot do. Arpy says, unpopular opinion, it'd be cool if Donnie did a reading of his fanfics. Ooh, those are rough. Ooh, some
do
of
a
those
dramatic,
old...
Doing a dramatic reading of a Godzilla. I'll do a dramatic reading of part that partial fan. I'll finish that Godzilla fanfic if you do a reading of your fanfic.
Okay, I might. I think that's a good deal. I think that's a good deal.
The Godzilla and LA one, yes.
You know, I once did a dramatic opera performance of Mothra's Song. Unpopular opinion, Donnie was good at it.
Oh my God, am I supposed to be writing projects for 2024 already? Is that what we're doing?
Oh
my God, hang on. Where's my notebook? Do I have to write this down?
I think you should write it down.
Godzilla Los Angeles fanfic, erotic poetry, erotic fiction for... Taylor's going to like my poetry book, Beachfront Property, because it's basically all erotic poetry.
It's stunning so far.
I'm almost at 200 on the pages. I just have to finish putting the
setting. Wasn't the there an episode? Wasn't there an episode a while back where you recited one of the poems? I think I did, there was. Yes. I can't remember which episode it was. We'll have to find it. But yes. It's totally worth it if you go back and watch it. Let's see. Other unpopular opinions. Oh, well, this is an unpopular opinion. I think dogs are annoying.
I saw the cutest dog today. You want to hear my dog story today?
Sure.
So I was you're going to like this dog story. It's going to change your opinion on dogs.
Okay.
So I walk down the pier today. I walk on the pier every day, basically. But today it was nice and warm. And there was warm today. There was a woman there who was trying to get her dog to heel. She kept going, heel, heel. She was pulling on this dog real hard. Heel, heel. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, okay. I was like confused. I was just like trying to walk. And I was like, I didn't want to like upset anybody. So I was just kind of stopped. And she walked up to me and she goes, I'm service dog training.
Oh.
I'm service dog training this dog. And I said, oh. She said, he's not doing formal training. So if you want to pet him, you can. And I said, oh, okay. And it's just a cute little black lab. So I pet the dog. I said, I usually try not to pet service dogs because usually they're working, so you don't try to pet dogs like that. She says, oh, yeah, that's fine. You can pet him if you want to. That's all right. So she tells me that this is her eighth dog that she's training because she has PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes into this big, long spiel about how these service dogs are so important to her because she's that, you know, they are so necessary to helping her maintain her PTSD. And so she's gone through eight now, and it's been like so important, and they're mm-hmm. they're so vital to that. And I was just thinking, like, it's such an arduous process, it sounds like, to train the dogs. And she said that being by the lake is so difficult for the dogs, that she has to get them used something about the water. Like the waves of the water unsettles them because there's so much noise from it,
mm-hmm.
That it unsettles them. So she's trying to get them acclimated towards being at the water.
That's interesting. I never thought of that.
So,
yeah. Like, so I don't hate dogs. Like, I think dogs are sweet. I think they're cute. And I do love like labs, for example, and golden retrievers, I think are phenomenal. And we had dogs growing up, but like, I just think, like, socially, like, I struggle with dogs because I feel like dogs are very socially dependent, and with being gone all the time, like, I feel like I would harbor a lot of guilt, you know, because yeah. They say, like, when you're away from your dog, like, your dog thinks that you abandon them, like, all day until you come back. And I'm like, I cannot mentally handle thinking that, like, all day, every day being away from them, being like, my dog is in anxiety thinking that I abandoned
them. You don't think your cats are like that already?
Oh, I think my cats don't care.
No, they care. Your cats care. You don't think your cats don't follow you around the house all day, every day?
Well, like when I get home, Gaby especially is yowling. Phoebe is in her own world, but you know. So Taylor has some unpopular opinions. Hanukkah is better than Christmas.
That's because you get 8 days, 8 nights, 8 wonderful nights.
Right. Taylor agrees the dogs are annoying. Sorry, everyone, if you like dogs out there. Unpopular opinion, New York is overrated. I actually agree with you.
So what I agree with is not just New York, but I think that most major cities are overrated because I lived in Seattle. Something about living in the city is just overrated in general, and that being around a lot of people and having to deal with the traffic and small apartment spaces that are overpriced and having to work so hard at your job all the time.
Mm.
City living is just, unless you're rich, city living is just not worth it.
You know, it's funny. Like, I feel this way about city living, but I also feel like, unpopular opinion, country living is overrated too. Like, I feel like what's overrated to me is like this need that like some people will like be like, I want to disappear off the grid and live in a tent on a mountainside.
The extremes, people who are like, I want to be a naturalist who lives off the land.
And I'm just like, girl, stop.
Girl, please, you don't need to be a prep.
Like, what are you doing?
I understand the desire. I understand the desire to not want to be reliant on the system, because ultimately, like, reliance on the system means that the system, like, if the system ultimately fails, you, like, want to be self-reliant. But, like, also, at the same time, we live in a society. It's okay to live in a society.
Yeah. Well, I harbor this guilt all the time, because I will always have people be like, Donnie, do you want to go camping? And I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't. Like, I don't mind once in a while, but like I like glamping.
Speak for yourself as somebody who loves hiking and camping.
I do love hiking, but I do know that I'm going to go home to my warm bed and a shower afterward.
No, I love sleeping in tents. I love sleeping in tents.
You know,
especially,
like, so,
especially if you go with like somebody special, something about being
I can do like maybe one night in a tent. Like the idea of like rain sounds romantic on the tent, you know.
Multiple, you're like multiple day trip. No.
No, like I have to know that there's an end in sight.
But I went with my sister. I went with my sister for a multiple day trip to Isle Royale, and we like lived on the island for several days.
See, I do think that would be cool.
We hiked like 30 miles, and what was really good is we didn't need a tent. They had just like these little enclosures that you could just like roll your sleeping bag out in and sleep in those. So you had just like your little mattress pad that you had and like your little blanket. And so you just slept in these like little cabins.
Right. Yeah.
So that would probably be good for you.
That would probably be something that I would like.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Isle Royale.
You have to go when it's not busy, because otherwise all the cabins get taken up.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Arpy's unpopular opinion is Christmas music shouldn't be played before December. Taylor,
I disagree. You can start playing Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving.
We started playing it November 1st.
I'm okay with Christmas music before December.
So I will say that I think because I used to really hate Christmas music. Cliff Notes version, trauma from my grandmother who used to be obsessed with Christmas, but she was like semi-abusive, you know, like that's a whole nother story. But like, I think Brit has largely been responsible for getting me to warm up to Christmas again, which is why I like,
oh, you're healing all of your trauma related to the holidays.
Holiday trauma's healing. Like, I would have never had a moth or Christmas tree in the past, but now I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna merge two of my favorite things together, and I enjoy having Christmas music. Like, a week ago, we hosted family for the first time in like my family doesn't do anything for Christmas.
I know, because you have a house now.
Yeah, like my family doesn't do, my family has not done anything for Christmas in so long. And we finally got to do something, and it felt really good. Like, I was just like, am I healing? Like, is this little sad, small Grinch heart growing two sizes? Like,
I love it.
But anyway.
That's part of restitching the tapestry. We're all healing.
I'm restitching my inner tapestry.
Oh. Yay. I love it. I love it. You don't have to be embarrassed about that.
I know. Taylor says, in my opinion, Thanksgiving is the first event of Christmas.
It absolutely
is. Yeah.
It's so, do you know what's really weird to me? It's like not even a couple weeks before you have like spooky season. And then all of a sudden, like wholesome season, like 2 weeks later, we go from like spooky.
We go from like death to home and hearth.
I know, it's so weird. Like, to me, there's like, it's like to me, it's like almost two separate worlds. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like in Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, you have like the trees. I'm like, it really does feel like that. Like that was such a great representation of the holidays because right. it almost feels like, even though these are like within just a couple weeks of each, few weeks of each other, they do feel like really separate entities almost.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree completely. Arpy says some Christmas music makes me sad. I think that's something that I used to struggle with too. Like, I think because of all the trauma that I harbored, especially like it just, I would constantly have like this sad association with all things Christmas. And now like that's kind of starting to fall away. Speaking of Christmas music, you know, the song Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee, right? Mm-hmm. It has a music video finally. This woman is like in the twilight of her life and decided to do a music video for the song. You all should go watch it. It's really great.
Oh my God. I will.
Yeah, it's really great. I used to, okay. So those Christmas songs in popular opinion were the ones that I used to hate the most. I actually used to hate the happy sounding Christmas music.
Do you know what my unpopular opinion is?
What?
Doing the family traditions that with people that you love, doing the traditions that you hate with the people that you love are often a sign of true love within your family, because those are the one memories that you remember the most.
This is true. No, I agree completely.
Do you know, my sister always for Christmas will watch this one movie called The Family Stone. She loves, absolutely loves this Christmas movie. I hate this Christmas movie. It's the worst Christmas movie. But guess what? She's coming home. So guess what I did? I bought the Christmas movie on DVD. Aww. So we can watch it as many times as she wants, because she loves this Christmas movie so much.
That's so wholesome. Do you ever like take a movie that's like absolutely not a Christmas movie and you pretend that it's a Christmas movie? Like for me, Godzilla nerd thing, because in Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which is one of my favorite movies, there's a scene where it's snowing. I pretend that it's a Christmas movie and I watch it every Christmas.
I've decided that if, you know, delusional thinking, you know, my life is a movie, but honestly thinking, like, if my life were actually a movie, it definitely would be a Christmas movie, because my first episode was around Christmas and all of my subsequent episodes, like all of the bad stuff that's happened to me has always happened around Christmas. And I know that if my life were a movie, it would definitely be a Christmas movie.
That's interesting. Sometimes when I'm like, do you ever like those moments where you're outside and it's like snowing very heavily and it's just like so quiet because of the snow?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to experience. I always like pretend that I'm in a Christmas movie. Like I'm like that businesswoman from the city returning to the hometown.
Oh, like the Hallmark and stuff?
Yeah, to be with the flannel dude who owns a bookstore. Who's misunderstood.
I love some Christmas movies too, Arpy.
We just watched The Holiday the other day, which is an amazing Christmas movie.
I was listening to what you said, Donnie, I promise.
Oh, it's okay. No, like, I went on a tangent. If you didn't, like, you're not at a loss, trust me. No, I do love Christmas movies more than I used to. I'm at the point, like, I think Britt's happy now because I'm at the point where I'm like, I will, like, let's watch a Christmas movie. And he'll be all gung-ho. We love you. Have a good night, Taylor. Thank you for participating in our chat today. We appreciate you.
Bye, Taylor.
Have a good night. Other unpopular opinions.
My goodness, I'm feeling like overstimulated on like all this chat and all this like chatter about.
It's because like the last few episodes we've not had a lot of chat, and now that we do have chat, we're like, oh, like discussion with people. Not to be dramatic, but
I know.
Unpopular opinion. I think soup should be eaten all year round.
Oh my God.
All year. Because like I know so many people who are like soup should not be eaten at any other point in time unless it's cold out. And I'm like, here it's like 4th of July, and I'm like, pot of chili. Or like 4th of July, like beef stew.
Oh my God, I totally agree with this opinion. Did I tell you I just made the best soup the other day? Did I tell you I made some potato leek soup that was like super good? Oh,
you
good?
Sent me a picture and I was like salivating. Like I was like, Ari,
it was so, it was so good. I ate that for like 4 days and it was like the best 4 days of my life.
Do you, like, I don't know if you follow my archive channel, but I, like, will upload random ridiculousness to that. So I uploaded, like, some small, like, clips that I did of making roasted butternut squash soup.
Was that Lisa's recipe?
No, I don't think, like, I just found it online somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it was so good.
Because Lisa taught me how to make butternut squash soup, and that was,
I have
like...
no doubt that, I'm sure Lisa's recipe is stunning, though, too.
Okay, like she's the one who got me involved in all of that butternut squash soup. Taco soup? What's taco soup?
Ooh, that sounds good to me. This episode is almost like a hodgepodge episode, but I love it.
It really does feel like a hodgepodge episode.
I'm fairly sure that our next episode is Hodgepodge 3.0.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we have 10 minutes. Let's talk about like some other aspects of unpopular opinions. So as fun as we've had sharing unpopular opinions, sometimes people kind of use their unpopular opinions to justify like hateful behavior or hateful positions or stances on things. Like for example, like I've had many a conversation with people where like they've been like, well, my unpopular opinion is just, I don't accept LGBTQ plus people. Like, it's just an opinion. It's like, yeah, it's your opinion, but it's also very concerning. Like, don't use an innocent unpopular opinion as, like, your justification for hating an entire group of people, right?
Yeah, that's not an unpopular opinion as much as it is bigotry.
Yeah. So, like, I think that some people try to just disguise their bigotry as, like, just, oh, it's just a fleeting opinion. Why should you worry about my opinion, you know?
Or like, the unpopular opinion I see most is, like, I think it's an unpopular opinion. I won't date a trans woman, or I wouldn't date a trans man, or something like that. And they disguise it as, like, an unpopular opinion. And like,
gay men do this a lot, like gay men especially. Like if you go on Grindr, like you will see gay men being like, no, blacks, fats, or femmes. And it's just my opinion. It's just my, you know, and I'm just like, yikes, like what?
That's like, and it's like, and it's like, that's not an opinion as much as like, I understand like maybe you have like a preference, but like also that's like hateful. Like, why do you have to say, like, announce that out loud? Like, I'm going to be a bigot. And like,
yeah, like, I'm going to be
announce to you that I hate like a whole group of people.
I'm going
to
be a racist, fat phobic, misogynistic person. Woo. Like you really sound attractive. Blah.
Like you're definitely not a walking red flag.
Right. God. And you know, what's funny is that people who always put that in their profile, they usually don't have a profile picture. They're probably married.
They probably act straight.
Oh, right. Oh, people are exhausting. What do you do when somebody has an unpopular opinion that you don't like?
This is how, you know, with you and I, we were talking about it tonight. I try to treat, if we have differing opinions, I try to treat it very delicately. You know, because we don't always have the same opinion on everything. Right. I try to treat your opinion with the respect that it deserves. Because, you know, when we have discussions about things, I don't want you to feel like you have to always have the same opinion as me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I always want to give you the grace to feel comfortable enough to share your opinion and to not feel as though I'm, because I always feel like I'm, sometimes I feel like I'm a conversation bully. And so I'm always afraid like that I'm going to like push you over into like conversation, like, oh, you've got to believe what I do, and I'm like, no, I gotta. So I'm like afraid that. So I'm just like, I can't do that to, especially to people I really care about. So I'm just like, I've got to treat Donnie like the pure cinnamon roll that he is.
And no, if it helps. If it helps you feel any better, I worry about the same exact thing. Because, like, I'm always worried about bulldozing over people in conversations. So, like, no, like, I, like, here's the thing. Like, we had different emphases. Like, we emphasized points when it came to our perspectives on what we talked about earlier. And I think the beauty of, especially our dynamic, is that we have the ability to find ourselves on the same page after discussing, right? And I think that that is something that I wish other people had, right? Like, I wish more people had the ability to be like, okay, like, we have, like, maybe slightly different perspectives or, you know, knowledge bases on something, right? Like, let's bring our knowledge bases together and figure out where we fall together on the topic, right?
Right, that we can have a differing, like, maybe we don't agree on every specific thing, mm-hmm. but, like, there are some things that we do agree on.
Right, absolutely. And the thing is, like, now mind you, like, so long as, like, I feel like when it comes to, like, bigotry, what we were talking about earlier, like, then that would be, like, a hard no, right? Like,
that would be a hard no.
Because, like, some people will try to weasel their way into that and be like, well, but I don't accept this group of people.
But I don't believe in bigotry either. And that's something I definitely don't believe in. So we're on the same page on that.
Right, exactly, right. And see, the thing is, like, I think that's why it's so easy for us as well, though, too, because we are fully aware of what our moral compass is. Mm-hmm. We are aware of each other's histories. We know that we're both informed and capable. So, like, I think that makes it all the more easy at the end of the day.
I think that's why we're friends.
Right. Honestly, you're basically family to me at this point.
Yeah, you're basically family.
You're basically like a sibling to me at this point. Now, like, so what do we do if we encounter someone, like, maybe if we do encounter a bigot who is using an unpopular opinion as a cloak for their bigotry? That's a toughie.
You let go and let God. Send them off. Be free. Be free. Be free.
Pray for them depending on what mood I'm in at the moment.
Go be free. Go be free.
So I always, okay. Because I have people ask, like, some people are like, Donnie, like, why do you even want to have conversations with people? I think it's easy, like, it's easy to know when a person is going to be completely shut off to a conversation, right? And in those instances, I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to bother. But I think when it's somebody who's just coming from a perspective of, like, having just zero knowledge, and they're just spouting something off without any knowledge, like, I try to think of it as, like, okay, well, maybe it could be an educational moment. Do I have the bandwidth to turn it into that?
Is it, yes, if it's, or no, completely an internet conversation, I'm definitely not going to spend the bandwidth.
But I'm petty sometimes. So sometimes I do.
I'm not. I just do not care enough. I do not care enough to spend time on strangers on the internet. So I do not, especially if it's Facebook, I will just unfriend them because I just do not care enough.
So we were talking in the back room before the episode started about our vices. And Ari was like, my vice is gossip. And honestly, my vice is pettiness.
Oh my goodness.
Like, Ari, I always want the last word in an argument. I do.
I will give you the last word in the argument.
No, don't do that. Now I have to be like, I don't, well, we aren't arguing, but like, if we were arguing, like, I would rein it in and be like, Donnie, be a cinnamon roll. Don't be a terrible monster, Donnie.
If you were fighting with me, I would give you the last word. I would give you that satisfaction.
All right, so I am such a diffusey person that I don't think it would be possible at this juncture in our lives for me to fight with you because I love you so much. I would be like, okay, like maybe if something goes wrong, like what can we do to make it better? Rah.
We would both be like, I think if we tried to fight with each other, we would both end up in tears.
We would be like, I'm so sorry if I miss, like, we would be so apologetic. It would probably be a very pathetic spectacle, but it would be beautiful at the same time. Oh, these lives we lead. I love it.
Yeah.
So final question of the night tonight. How can having an opinion that is contrary to popular opinion bring... Did we already talk about it?
What can you bring to a table with a contrary opinion, I suppose? And like what positives can you bring to the table and what can be hurtful with a contrary opinion?
So I think when it comes to if you do have like an unpopular opinion, like I think it's always important to think about decorum and to have the wherewithal to be able to read a room, right? Like I'm not going to go to a family Christmas with a family that's mostly conservative and walk in there and be like, Medicare for all, or like healthcare for all, you know, because
jump on the table and start doing a table dance with your boyfriend, with your fiance.
Right. Like, cause like reading the room, I'll know that like, that's going to turn into something ridiculous. I mean, it's sad that one would have to do that. Right. But I do think that it's important to be able to read the room. And I know that I do know so many people who just don't read a room at all. And it's like a bowl in a china shop. And I'm just like, oh no.
It's like going to Thanksgiving and like, hey, what fights can I start?
I mean, there are some people who legitimately do kind of enjoy doing that. I am not one of those people because...
My aunt is one of those people.
Oh no. Oh no.
Ooh. That's why we have separate Thanksgivings now. We have not gotten together as like an extended family for years now. There's a reason.
You know what? Let it be, right? Let it be. So won't it be.
Let it be. Plus she has to meet with her own kids. She's a grandma now. She can have her own kids.
Yeah. This has been such a great conversation. I've like we've had emotions. We've been deep. We've talked about the gravity of things happening in the world. We've just like, I love it when we're able to cover all of this ground in an episode.
Unpopular opinion. This episode had all of the chaotic energy that I needed tonight.
Unpopular opinion. This episode's one of our best episodes. Damn.
That is... I disagree with that unpopular opinion that it's the best episode, but it is a pretty good episode.
That's fair. Well, everyone, we love you. Tune in next Thursday. So the next two Thursdays, there will be live shows, and then the rest of December, it'll be recap shows from the season. So just keep that in mind. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels. Don't forget to click like. Godzilla Kairu is tuning in last minute, watching episode 3 of Monarch, the new Godzilla show, with my older brother and saying hello. Hello, Godzilla Kairu. It's good to see you. I need to watch the new episode too. Anyway, we love you. Have a good rest of your night. Okay. Bye. Bye.